It's always a pleasure to bring you a star in the story each week. This time, it's particularly so because of the charm and graciousness of our star. Most fans grew to know and love her as the sweetheart of Andy Hardy. Now, she is one of the screen's most popular ingenue leads, and we're happy to present her as our leading lady in our play, The Scientific Touch. Here she is, our guest and star, Miss Ann Rutherford.
Now, all I have to do is not cross you up.
We'll see about that very shortly as we present Miss Ann Rutherford in The Scientific Touch. In the meantime, here's a young man who performs very capably in his own right. The curtain is up, and here is the play. On the outskirts of New York, in the main offices of the Atterbury Products plant, the attractive and distinguished Dr. Emery Warren, head of the research laboratory, dictates a letter to his secretary, with little or no assistance from his assistant, James Atterbury Jr., the owner's son.
Evergreen Street, Kalo, Iowa. Dear Miss McKinney, it gives me great pleasure to announce that you have won the $1,000 award in this year's chemical research contest.
With all the entries, the dame has to win it. I ask you, Emery, is that progress?
Well, it is for the dame. Contest sponsored by the Atterbury...
I can just see her scientific puss. Hair pulled back so it won't fall in the test tube. Glasses so she can get to know the molecules better. And a mouth drawn and narrow from biting her lips and finding no time and no body to kiss. Professor, I give you, and believe me, you can have, Miss McKinney, the woman of science, in whose life the affinity of one atom for another supersedes the affinity of woman for man.
Eileen, dear, everything is getting cold.
Come on, Madame Curie. We want you to open this registered letter.
Letter? Oh, thanks. Oh, it's from the Atterbury Products Plant, Stamford, Connecticut.
We got that far, too. What's it say inside?
Oh, wait till I see. It says, dear Miss McKinney, it gives me great...
Sounds fascinating, eh, Mom?
Golly, listen, Mom. Babs, I've won $1,000. First prize in their annual research contest.
Oh, Lean, congratulations. Moms, we've got a genius in the family.
Darling, I'm proud of you. First prize. Oh, that's wonderful. What's that long green thing, the check? No, this is my railroad ticket to New York and back. I'm to go there next week and be presented with $1,000.
Oh, how dreamy. New York and $1,000. Oh, Lean, you'll be in heaven. Send me lots of postcards and be sure to...
I can't go to New York right now. I'm in the midst of just about the most important thing I've ever tackled. I couldn't possibly leave this experiment.
What do you mean you can't go to New York? Why, that's just like saying you don't like gable or nylons or steak.
Babs, look, I'm not like you. I don't care about that sort of thing. Besides, I saw it all when we took that trip my freshman year at college.
But Eileen, you can't write a letter and just say, send check, too busy for ceremony. That would not only be rude, it would be ungrateful.
But what else can I do? I'm knee-deep in this experiment.
You can send Babs in your place.
What?
Babs wants to go to New York. She's never been. You've been and you don't want to go. And it would be a wonderful way to repay Babs for helping you finish college.
Mom,
well, that's
please,
right. And you'd be doing me a favor, Babs. I'm not expected to make a speech, or they'd say so. All you have to do is put out your hand and take the check when it's given to you. Besides, the letter's addressed to dear Miss McKinney, and you're Miss McKinney, too. Babs, you're going to go. You've got to.
Hello?
Professor Emery Warren?
Yes?
This is Miss McKinney.
Who?
Miss McKinney at the Carlton Plaza. I won the Atterbury Research Prize. You reserved this suite for me.
Oh, yes, Miss McKinney.
I got your message to phone you as soon as I arrived, so here I am.
My message?
Yes, asking me about dinner.
That message. Yes, of course. Well, my assistant, James Atterbury Jr., was to have met your train, but you were so late he had to return to the plant. I imagine he was kind enough to leave the note for me. Well, where would you... you like to have dinner?
Well, I think your suggestion in the note about the Savoy roof would be wonderful. I've heard so much about it.
The Savoy roof? I mean, certainly, if you're sure you wouldn't prefer something less dressy for your first night.
I'll only be here a few days, Professor, and I've always dreamed about the Savoy roof.
Well, very well, Miss McKinney. The roof it shall be. I'll call for you at 7:30.
My dear lady, I was not trying to flirt with you. I merely thought that you...
Pardon me, Professor. I think you were looking for me. I'm Miss McKinney.
You are? Oh, how delightful. Oh, excuse me. Madam, I do beg your pardon, believe me. Good night. I saw you going about the lobby, waking up old men with whiskers, Miss McKinney, and I wondered... However, now it's all too clear. You assumed they were me. I...
Don't bother to sound hurt, Professor. I saw the girl you thought was I. I'd say we were about even.
Do you mind if we go back to the table? I don't samba, I'm afraid.
It isn't my forte either.
Well, how was your dinner?
Oh, it was divine. Everything's divine. The lovely corsage you sent me. This is the loveliest place I've ever been. That view from the terrace with all New York at your feet. Well, it just leaves me breathless.
It is pretty impressive.
Golly.
Why, golly.
Just golly. It's when you're pleased and happy about something.
Yes, I guess you have reason to be. Winning the Atterbury Award and $1,000.
Oh, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking how wonderful it is that you turned out to be you. Well, I mean that you weren't really that sleeping old man with the beard.
Well, I should never have lasted this long if you'd been that lady with the horse-shaped face.
My, if it isn't good old Professor Warren.
What was I saying, Miss McKinney?
You were being happy that I didn't have a horse-shaped face.
And I, too, am happy that you do not have a horse-shaped face. That's very appropriate at Belmont, but not at the Savoy Roof.
I suggest you ignore the man.
It doesn't seem very easy.
Oh, you're very kind to say that, Miss McKinney. I'm merely waiting for Professor Warren to introduce me. You see, I'm his assistant. The one who went to meet you at the train and didn't.
Oh,
I know when someone is too dull-witted to take a hint. Miss McKinney, I'm sorry to present Mr. James Atterbury, Jr., the boss's son. A bright, if unstable, young man who has never been known to resist a fair fate.
Charmed, Miss McKinney. And thanks for the billing, Emily.
How do you do, Mr. Atterbury?
Well, have you done the town? Are you doing the town? And if so, you may count me a willing third.
He's very shy at first, but if you're patient, he'll come out of his shell. James, I merely introduced you. I didn't insist on you joining us.
Why, Emily, old boy, I could have sworn from your parting remarks as you left the lab that you'd appreciate a little relief.
Oh, well, now, when you put it that way... Do join us.
Thanks, I will. Miss McKinney, you do not look at all as I had expected.
I don't? And what had you expected, Mr. Atterbury?
Well, I can tell you better what I didn't expect. I didn't expect such blue eyes or such a lovely mouth.
Forgive me, James, but I think if Miss McKinney is willing that we should get along. After all, this is her first night in town.
Oh, Emory, have a heart. It's only 10. Well, the gal hasn't seen a thing. How about it, Miss McKinney? Wouldn't you like to do a few more spots?
Well, not if Professor Warren is tired.
I'm afraid I am tired, but then the years are upon me.
Oh.
Let Jimmy show you the town. He's very good at it, and he can also samba. I'll see you at the presentation luncheon tomorrow.
Well, thank you for a wonderful evening.
You're most welcome. Good night. Night, Jimmy.
Good night, Daddy. See you in the morning. I just can't get over you.
Thank you. Does Professor Warren always go to bed so early?
Not always. And he probably won't go straight home. He often stops by to see Kit Carpenter.
Catherine Carpenter, the actress?
Mm-hmm. She's an old girl of Emery's. But how about you? Where would you like to go?
He's very charming. Don't you think so?
Emery? Yeah, he's a smooth gent.
Oh, it's more than just that. I mean, he's very good looking and sort of man of the world. Yet at the same time, he's sort of sweet.
You mean Emery?
Uh-huh.
Well, sure, I guess he's attractive to some women. But he's no Boy Scout, you know. He's pretty old. Well, he must be 40.
I like older men.
Well, I'm older. I'm 28, and you're beautiful, and I think we'd look mighty sharp out on the dance floor doing a rumba. And besides, I like you.
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I wake you up?
Oh, Professor Warren? Oh, no, I mean, well, hardly. We stayed out sort of late last night.
Oh, I should have remembered. But I called to say that I think you'd better take an earlier train than the one I suggested if you want to run over your speech before the luncheon.
My what?
Your speech.
My speech? I'm not very good at making speeches. I often forget what I'm going to say.
Well, then come in time to dictate it to my secretary. No one will mind if you read it.
Oh, they won't.
Emory. Morning, beautiful. How's the dreamiest dancer in all New York? How's the loveliest thing still to smash the atom? How is my...
Oh, Jimmy, don't talk like that. Now, Professor Warren says I've got to make a speech. I've got to hang up now, Jimmy. I'll see you,
ma'am. Hey, but...
And Eileen promised me I wouldn't have to make a speech. I'll just have to tell the truth. I'll just say, Emory, I'm sorry, but I lied to you. I am not my sister. No, that won't do. I mean, Professor Warren, I feel you should know that I'm an imposter. Hello?
Angel Pye, it's Jimmy. Emory was just telling me something when you shut me off. She wanted me to tell you that the luncheon and your speech are postponed.
You're not kidding, Jimmy?
No. Emory got word while I was talking to you. Dad phoned from Chicago this morning. Seems his plane was grounded and everything's off until Monday.
What a shame.
Yeah. Now, look, Mother wants you for the weekend. I'll be tied up here, but if you catch the 5 o'clock to Darien, I'll see that someone meets you.
Sounds wonderful. Will there be any other guests?
No, probably Emory. Is that all right?
Wonderful. Thank you, Jimmy. I'll see you later. I often think my guardian angel works overtime. I am a popular kid. Hello?
Hello, Beth. It's Eileen.
Eileen? Hello. How are you? Eileen, what's wrong?
What do you mean, what's wrong?
Something's wrong, or you wouldn't be calling me all this distance.
It isn't so distant. I'm just downstairs. I'll be right up.
And the curtain falls on Act One of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Scientific Touch, starring Miss Anne Rutherford, who returns in just a moment. And now, here is our preeminent professor with a profound word. Just a few moments later, as Eileen McKinney makes herself at home in her sister's suite in the Carlton Plaza Hotel.
And you came all this way just to hear a speech?
A lecture. I didn't want to leave the lab, but when I read that Dr. Postovich was in the United States on his way to China and was to speak here in New York, well, I just had to hear him. He's the international authority on one of the theories involved in my experiment.
All right, I'm impressed, and whatever the reason, I'm so glad to see you.
I wouldn't have barged in like this, but I couldn't get a hotel room any place else, besides which I haven't got too much money.
But of course you should stay here. Look at the size of the place, and it's rightfully yours anyway.
Oh, you look happy. How are you doing as a chemist?
Well, yes and no, but that can wait. My big sister, until I do something about you, because time is fleeting.
What do you mean, do something about me?
I mean that at 5 o'clock I have to catch a train for Connecticut. I'm going to spend the weekend at the Atterbury's, and you're coming, too, because I need another gal to take up Jimmy Atterbury's time.
But, Babs, I know I'm not the type of girl a rich New Yorker would look at twice.
No, but you're going to be.
What do you mean? What are you going to do to me?
First, Lean, you're going to give up wearing sacks.
Sacks? But this is my best dress.
Instead, you'll wear my red gabardine suit.
It'll be too tight.
You have a wonderful figure. It's time it was unveiled. Now, we make an appointment at the beauty parlor for the work. Beauty parlor, please.
Oh, no, Babs. They all make my hair all stiff and give me funny lips. I know what they do, and no one will ever recognize me.
Hello?
This is
Miss McKinney in suite 1551. I was wondering if you might be able to work in an appointment for me somewhere. Oh, wonderful. I want a shampoo, haircut, facial, manicure. Yes, the works. All righty, we'll be right down.
So bad.
There now. That wasn't so painful, was it?
Not for you, maybe. But just look at me.
It's a pleasure. You look simply super. Oh, that haircut's divine. It makes you look wonderful. Now admit you think it's becoming.
Well, I guess it is, but I feel nude in the back with no knot there.
You'll get over it. And your eyes look 10 times larger with your eyebrows trimmed. Now, on with my red suit.
Here you go.
Oh, Babs, I feel like someone else already, isn't that?
No, it isn't. You're going to capture the heart of a playboy whom I suspect is really a rather sweet gent underneath. Come on, into the skirt, too.
Okay, but it's not going to be very subtle.
We're not trying to be subtle. And take off your glasses,
Lee. But, Babs, I can't recognize his faces any distance without my glasses.
You won't have to. I'll tell you which is whom.
There. Oh, now, Babs, just look at this on me. Look at the way you're going. You can see where my hips are.
When they look like your hips, that's good. Oh, Lee, you look as lovely as anything New York has to offer.
Why, you always could have if you weren't so determined to disguise your good features.
Okay, I'm doing this for your sake. But I'm not going to like it, and I'm not going to like Jimmy, and I'm not going to have a good time.
Professor Warren and Mr. Atterbury, Jr. are just out on the terrace, Miss McKinney, if you care to speak to them before you go to your room.
Thank you. We'll go out and say hello.
Oh, what a huge place. Beautiful. Oh, yes, and I'm scared. Suppose they don't believe I'm a dramatic teacher.
If they believed I was a chemist, they'll believe anything. Now, see, Emery is the tallest one, and Jimmy is the dark one in the light sport coat. Hi, Jimmy. Hello, Professor Warren.
Eileen, hello there. Well, Mom's at Red Cross, but she'll be along by dinner time.
You were sweet to say my sister Barbara could come.
Well, I'm delighted. How do you do, Miss McKinney? Professor Warren, Miss McKinney.
How do you do? Nice to see you today, too, Eileen.
Well, how about me showing both of you about the place? There's a nice view of the valley from the hill over there.
Oh, I'd love it. The countryside's extremely beautiful. The soil must be very rich to stimulate such vegetation.
You go ahead, Barbara. I'll go upstairs and unpack. Is it all right?
All right. It's wonderful. Come along, Miss McKinney. Oh, Professor, you are urged to stay there and smoke your pipe and think.
Don't worry, James. I know how many makes a crowd.
you got enough, Janet? You want to stop?
Stop a drop. I've played three sets with you. It's 85 in the shade, and I haven't won a game. Don't you think I should reap some reward?
Okay. Let's join Emery and Barbara, have a cool drink, and then a swim.
Oh, that's a superb idea. You should have had it two sets ago.
I'm awfully glad you brought your sister. She's terrific. She's so fragile and dependent, sort of, and so interested and intelligent about my work. She's just, well, just...
different.
Yeah.
Come on, Jimmy. Let's get that swim. Toss me that slip, Lean.
Huh?
That white slip there. Will you throw it to me, please?
Oh, sure. May I wear that blue print of yours?
Oh, yes, but you know it'll fit snugly.
But it seems more appropriate to wear for dinner in New York than anything I have.
Are you sure it isn't because Jimmy said he liked blue on you?
Oh, no, it's a... well, as a matter of fact, he did say he thought blue was suitable to me.
Somehow I can't imagine Jimmy restraining himself to suitable. Okay, Angel, you're welcome to the blue. And you will admit that you like Jimmy, huh?
Yes, I'll admit it. I like him very much.
Now, if only Emery had a kind word to say for me. I think he's so handsome and wonderful, and he's just polite to me. Do you think he dislikes me?
Oh, I don't think he dislikes you. I think he even likes you. He just doesn't seem very smitten. Maybe he's already in love with someone.
Oh, you are the encouraging one. Didn't he say anything at all about me when you two were sitting by the pool watching a swim?
Well, yes, I remember when you stood nearest to dive in, he said you had fine, strong feet. It was obvious you'd always worn good, correct-fitting shoes.
Gosh, he does love me, doesn't he? Good, strong feet.
Well, yesterday he said you had a beautifully modeled face, everything nicely proportioned.
Darling, don't bother to go on. I was right the first time. Emery Warren has lost no sleep over me. Good, strong feet. Feet, a nicely proportioned face, ye gods.
Ah, oh, this place still has the best food in town. Did you girls enjoy it?
Very much. It's a lovely spot.
Oh, it's beautiful and so quiet and like the movies. You wouldn't think you were in New York at all with the stars right above you.
Yeah, the village is fun.
Say, I don't want to be a killjoy, but I have a lot of business with J.B. to go over in the morning. I wonder if you'd excuse me.
Well, if you must go.
I must. I feel you're equal to seeing both young ladies home, James.
That's where I shine, boss.
I'll see you before the luncheon, Eileen. We'll want to run through that speech.
Don't worry about it, Emery. I have it down pat, and you'll like it.
Fine. See you all tomorrow. Good night.
Good night. Take it easy.
Does he always go home so early?
Well, occasionally he pretends to. Now, don't tell me you're going to fall for Emery, too.
Oh, well, I think he's charming, but... well, I like younger men.
And I'm younger. Oh, Eileen, I'm so glad you brought your sister along. She's terrific.
Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy.
What's the matter, Emery?
Have you seen Eileen? She's due to make her speech in 10 minutes, and she hasn't even shown up yet.
Well, I just took her in to meet Dad. Only it isn't Eileen, it's Barbara. But her real name's Eileen.
What's the matter with you? Only it isn't Eileen, it's Barbara.
Well, the one we thought was Barbara is the real scientist, Eileen. Imagine. No wonder she sounded so intelligent about my work. Wait till my dad hears I've got a crush on a mental giant. Will he be pleased? Oh, gosh.
If you'll excuse me, I'm going to see if I can find someone who makes a trifle more sense. It shouldn't be too hard. It's the bellboy for your bags, ma'am.
Oh, come in. I was just... Emery, you aren't the bellboy at all.
They told me at the desk you'd call for someone to collect your bags.
Well, not you.
If you don't mind, I'll come in. I want to talk to you. Why didn't you come to hear Eileen's speech?
I didn't care to.
Why didn't you care to?
Oh, numerous reasons. In the first place, I wouldn't have understood it. In the second place, I have a train to catch. And in the third place... I didn't want to see you.
Oh, very flattering. Why didn't you want to see me?
Oh, I suppose it won't do any harm to tell you now, since it can't possibly affect you, and I'm leaving town in an hour.
I'm listening.
Well, as you already know, my real name is Barbara, and I'm no scientist. Eileen's the bright member of my family.
Well, Eileen told me all about that. In fact, she told me all about everything, except why you're bent on rushing home. After all, things turned out all right.
I guess maybe for Eileen they did. She likes Jimmy, and he seems to care for her.
He's mad about her. Well, how'd they turn out for you?
You should know how they turned out for me. I fell in love with you, in case you haven't already guessed.
But my dear child,
Dear child me, please. I know it doesn't matter to you. That's why I'm sounding off like this. I think you're handsome and sweet and sophisticated, and it doesn't make a bit of difference that you don't even like me.
Now, whoa there. Suppose you wait a moment this time. I could have said a lot of nice things about you.
I suppose you could. You might have said that I had nice molars and 20/20 vision.
I could have said that you were beautiful because I happen to think you are. I could have said I loved your voice and your sense of humor and your laugh and your eagerness.
But you didn't.
I didn't because that sort of talk would have been incriminating. It might have led you to suspect that I was fond of you.
And you aren't? You weren't?
I am and I was. I even loved you. But I got my warning early, so I steered clear. Then I saw that Jimmy was gone on you, and he's rich and handsome and far nearer your age.
Yes, and he's sombers. But I don't happen to love Jimmy, nor he me. He's going to marry Eileen. Now that you've been gallant and saved my pride, I appreciate it. So goodbye. I have a train to catch at Grand Central.
Wait a minute. You'll give me no bum's rush.
You kissed me. But why so all of a sudden? You didn't love me yesterday.
I did love you yesterday and the days before, but I thought you were a scientist, and I promised myself from a very tender age that I would never marry a woman of science.
What's the matter with them?
It's just personal. I have an aversion to a super logical woman with a scientific bent. My mother and father were both research chemists. My mother was too bright and too logical and always a jump ahead of him. My sister's a chemical engineer, and she's driven two husbands mad, and her present spouse doesn't look too well. I don't want a dumb woman, but I don't want one in my profession. By the way, darling, what do you do?
I teach dramatics.
That's really beautiful, Barbara. Dramatics. It's so lovely and illogical. And in the future, the nearest you'll come to anything scientific is me.
Is I.
Is this.
Oh, darling. I love science.
And the curtain falls on the second and final act of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Scientific Touch, starring Miss Anne Rutherford,
who returns for a curtain call in just a moment. And here's our star, Miss Anne Rutherford. It's a pleasure to see an actress make a character come to life as you did with Barbara.
Well, if everyone else enjoyed it as much as I did, I'm very happy.
And the next time, we'll see if we can't find a good, solid melodrama for you.
That I would love. Well, now I have to run, Les. Redecorating my house, you know.
Oh, yes, I know, and I sympathize with you, too. Thanks for taking time away from such an important task to be with us.
I'll be dreaming about that drama, Les. And before I go, thanks to Sarah Jane Wells, who played my sister, and to Frank Martin, who played Emery, for their fine support. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Anne Rutherford. We hope you enjoyed our little comedy. It was light and designed only for smiles. You see, each week we present a different star and a change of story. And in that way, we hope to offer something for everyone. Next week, a very fine drama. Miss Anne Rutherford was supported by an all-star cast. Sarah Jane Wells as Eileen, Frank Martin as Emery, Jack Edwards Jr. as Jimmy, and The Scientific Touch was written by Virginia Rooks with musical score composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Be sure to listen each week and hear Pat O'Brien, yours truly, Ann Dvorak, Barbara Britton, and many others. This is your host and director, Les Mitchell, saying thanks for being with us, and we hope you'll listen in each and every week.